From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our first connection today was made last September in downtown Rochester with the inaugural Rochester Venture Adventure. The event is centered on a simple premise. Remember how jobs and companies were generally moving away from cities and downtowns, heading for the suburbs? Well, young workers don't really want that anymore. They want to be downtown. High Tech Rochester surveyed local entrepreneurs and found that a growing number said they wanted to work for a company based downtown because they wanted to, as they say, live, work, and play downtown. So if you're High Tech Rochester or if you're a local tech company, where are you focusing when it comes to creating jobs downtown? The Sibley Building is an obvious place to start. We've talked a lot about that. We will talk about that in this discussion, but it's not the only place. And the Rochester Venture Adventure was designed to get people excited about the revitalization happening downtown, whether they're looking for a job in a high-tech sector or they're looking for space for their company. And last year it worked even better than they expected. 150 people or so participated in year one. This year they're hoping for even more when the Venture Adventure happens this coming Saturday. So our conversation focuses on building this downtown high-tech job base, and I want to welcome our guest. Anna List is here, the Managing Director of Business Development for GRE, that's Greater Rochester Enterprise. Anna, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Evan. It's great to be here.
Dan Keeley is here, the Director of Startup Community Development for High Tech Rochester. Hi, Dan.
Happy to be here.
Nice to have you here, Dan. Nice to have you back. And Kyle Pasades here, Senior Director of Marketing at Brand Networks. And Kyle was a participant last year, also someone helping kind of organize. So you've seen this from a number of different perspectives, and we'll be talking to you about your experience. Thanks for being here.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Evan.
Anna, I just want to start with you just for a little background here because, you know, we talk about this Venture Adventure and what it is and sort of who's involved. It came together for a number of reasons, but not the least of which because a big company and I guess an institution saw an opportunity here. What's the story there? What happened?
Sure. And Dan can go into a little bit more detail here, but it's my understanding AT&T approached High Tech Rochester wanting to support some type of an event in the Rochester area focused on tech, focused on innovation. And HTR came up with this concept of a scavenger hunt, and it seemed to make a lot of sense. So I'll let Dan kind of kick.
Yeah, what happened, Dan?
So AT&T approached High Tech Rochester. They said, we really want to support innovation in Rochester. What are you guys doing? What's interesting? What can we do? And we kind of put together a small team of young adults who said what would be fun, what would draw people downtown. We came up with a scavenger hunt. The scavenger hunt tries to highlight some things going on downtown that you might not normally see, businesses that you might not know about, also historic places. So it gets you walking around downtown and excited about whatever you see and whatever you learn.
And what are some of the examples of stops on the scavenger hunt last year, for example?
All right, let's think about last year. Brand Networks was one of our stops last year because they're one of our good young adult companies, young professionals. So let's talk a little bit more about the scavenger hunt. So the stops are divided up into three different categories. We have stops that have hidden robots. There's little chalk markings where it's a really easy clue, but it might be difficult to find where this chalk robot is. Other ones where there are difficult clues, but the chalk robot is prominent. And the third one, which is the most exciting, is our activity stops, right? Where you see this red robot and you have to do something. The huge hit last year was to go up in the First Federal Building and take a picture in that big spaceship. So everyone got a huge view of the city.
I don't think it's not really a spaceship.
Not really a spaceship. Like a spaceship.
It could be a spaceship.
Yeah, it's a spinning
tower. CloudSmarts does, they call it the spaceship. But people were really excited about doing that. Another activity stop is we had Rochester Parkour do something in one of the parks downtown.
I keep hearing about parkour, by the way. So just a little side question. What is parkour again?
It's like outdoor gymnastics, kind of
freestyle,
like
walking, maybe.
Yeah. Like jumping on things and, you know, jumping from one building to another. It's very, look it up on YouTube.
Yes. It's like Monty Python's Department of Silly Walks turned into like a health thing.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so Rochester Parkour was involved.
Yeah. And then finally, we also had Rock Brewing do a quick tasting, which is another important aspect of the event, because what we want to do is not only highlight local tech companies, but highlight local businesses and support local businesses. The prizes for the winning teams were also largely donated from local companies. We the Little gave tickets to the Mag. We have passes for the Strong Museum of Play's Happiest Hour. So not only are we highlighting these businesses, but they're really supporting the event. It's a way to get the community together.
Okay. And I know this is not a fundraiser for any of these particular organizations, as far as I understand it, right?
No. I mean, actually, you know, you pay $15 for a ticket, and it costs about $40 per participant. So,
all right. Yeah. So that's, I don't want to like give like a business lesson, but that's like a pretty bad ROI.
Exactly.
So if you are successful, then it's not about raising money. It's about what, Dan? What comes out of this for High Tech Rochester, for these downtown tech companies, for GRE? What happens here if this works?
It's exposure, right? Mm-hmm. It's getting people excited to live and work downtown. There's so much construction going on. I think that in 2 or 3 years, downtown is going to look completely different from what we see today. And I think High Tech Rochester wants to be at the center of it all. We want to be in the Sibley Building. We want to be that hub, that organization that is facilitating these, you know, creative collisions, a place where different tech companies come, hang out, meet each other, figure out how they can collaborate and build value together.
Are you here, by the way, to at least tell us what we think should happen with Parcel 5? That's like a whole other hour. We've already done that once. We'll probably do it again.
I mean, I don't know. You know, But one thing,
like you're totally putting me on the spot.
But one thing that I saw. So you know, Facebook is a huge, you know, source of information and news for us, right? And just yesterday, or maybe the day before, I saw a couple friends post a wiffle ball game.
This was actually Brand Networks and the DNC played it. We played a wiffle. Like a sneak attack wiffle ball game.
Wait, that was your company doing that?
Yeah, it was a bunch of our engineers and designers played against the DNC. It was yesterday, right?
But what a great example of community.
You're not
right?
supposed to say yesterday.
I mean, right.
That's all right.
Spoiler
alert. That's okay. No, that's all right. So anyway, it was last week. Yeah. And but for you, Dan, you saw that event. It's this fun. It's a fun way to kind of spend an afternoon. People are playing wiffle ball. They're in this beautiful space. If you haven't been down to Parcel 5, you know, I occasionally stop at Fuego Coffee. It is a great view. It's one of the best spots in downtown. So, again, I didn't mean to hijack here. I am just curious to know if High Tech Rochester, for example, has an opinion, or are you leaning on the city on what should happen there?
I mean, I'd love to see it be used as a community space, whichever way.
Okay.
You know, if it's a park, that's great. If it's a, you know, I've seen some proposals as some shops, but mostly an open air place where you can walk through. But it would be a great place to like gather, talk with a friend, have a cup of coffee, either if it's on the grass or in front of a small shop.
And this is a great transition then for me to. And by the way, if you want to know more about Venture Adventure, we're going to come back to that later in this conversation. Make sure you have all the details if you want to do it, because I think you still can, right?
Yeah, you can still sign up.
Okay. But you know, I know High Tech Rochester has been trying to check in with the entrepreneurs, and I opened the hour by saying that this notion of moving to the suburbs, tech corridors in the suburbs, moving away from downtown, that's the opposite of what you're hearing from people. So maybe, Dan, when you think of Parcel 5 and when your cohort thinks of Parcel 5, you think we want to work downtown, but we want to live downtown. You know, you want to have livable space, which is, you know, it's sort of the work, live, play. And that's why I think some people are gravitating toward this idea with Parcel 5. Who knows what happens next with it? But you did find that, didn't you? That people are really actually telling, this isn't just sort of marketing hype that downtowns are revitalizing. People are telling you this.
I mean, but this is a trend that we see nationally and
internationally. Yeah, obviously it's not just Rochester.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that because people are most often like working from the computers nowadays, they want to see other people. You can work from home. There are tons of people who can work from home, but we see this rise in like co-working spaces, because what's important is not just getting your work done, but interacting with people during the day and hopefully getting somebody's opinion on the work that you're doing. You know, that's what I think one of the advantages of being in an incubator space or being in High Tech Rochester. You know, most of these companies are really small. They're one or two people, but if they did this at home, they would be fairly isolated. This gives them an environment which to interact, to say, hey, I need help with this. You know, Kyle, you know way more about marketing than I do. This is my marketing plan. Can I get your thoughts on it? You know, so that's, I think that that's part of building that whole ecosystem and community.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to ask all three of you then about something that sort of just came to mind listening to Dan talk about the value of not working home, because there's this idea that we are moving into a work from home sort of world, I guess. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. So I think of my father, who worked for a law firm in Cleveland for many years, and my dad's the kind of guy who never wants to retire. So he found ways to not retire and is still working with this company. And he helped lead about 5 years ago the creation of a brand new downtown space for the firm, and the space is gorgeous. It's just blow you away, amazing. Cleveland is having their own sort of revitalization.
Definitely.
And yet, I had a conversation with him recently, and he said, you know what? We got a 20-year lease, and I hope in 20 years we still have new young workers who want to come in and actually work in an office space. Because he said, you know, my dad was saying, I'm used to that. That's the world I grew up in. But there's more demand, whether you're an attorney or someone in a tech sector or whatever it is, that if you can work from home, to work from home. People want that flexibility. And I'm sure that's true. But Dan, what you're telling me is there's still a lot of value for having a physical workspace. So it's not, we shouldn't assume that eventually there will be no workspaces for companies
like that. Of course not. I mean, all the rise of co-working and incubator space, it says that people want to interact with other people. Now, I think to your point earlier, there is an aspect of work-life balance, right? Like sometimes it is a little bit easier to get some stuff done at home. I know personally that when I have to write a lot, I want no one around me.
Yeah, sure.
You know? So that might be a situation in which I take the afternoon to work from home so I don't get any phone calls. But for the most part, you can't work from home consistently. I think that it gets lonely. Mm-hmm. I said creative collisions before. I think that we create better work when we have the input and support of others. And if we have, people around us with diversified skill sets, that's even more important, right?
Yeah, it supports knowledge transfer.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. That's, one of those key phrases.
So maybe we're moving into a hybrid kind of a work world where instead of having no office space or physical space for companies, whatever the sector is, there is a flexibility that comes for workers that workers probably want. Younger workers have said they want that, but that doesn't mean no physical space.
I think you're definitely hitting it right on the nose. What I see, Brand Networks is a software company, and I always have my smartphone on me, which means I'm kind of always at work, right? When my father was at work, he was at work. When he was at home, he didn't have his work phone with him, so he was at home. And I think a lot of people in our generation, sort of the millennial crowd, we're kind of like always working, and we're always, available to do other things also. Like, kind of anecdotally, last week, Brand Networks works to build software in partnership with all the social networks. So last week I was in San Francisco for meetings with Pinterest and Facebook and LinkedIn, and LinkedIn has a brand new office on 2nd Street right in San Francisco. And in the same building is this large atrium. It almost looks like a college library when you walk into it. It's big open space, and it's free to use. People can just go right in there, grab a desk, get on the Wi-Fi, plug their computer in, and work from there. There's a little coffee shop in the space. For me, between meetings, nobody in my office cared that I went back to my San Francisco office to be at work between meetings. So I was still working. I was able to just grab a spot in the same building as my next meeting with LinkedIn, in this open, shared co-working space, you could call it. And it gave me a chance to get work done, but also to kind of have a place to do that. And I think this is the kind of thing that we all want, and that we're kind of trying to figure out ways to foster that sort of a work-life relationship, I suppose, inside
the
downtown area.
So when you look at whether it's Sibley or other spaces, you see a future, a high-tech sector downtown that has spaces like this.
Definitely.
Physical spaces, co-work spaces.
Yeah. I think these things already exist, right? I mean, people do this in, the coffee shops in the downtown area.
Sure.
We have meetings at the restaurants. This isn't like a new thing. It's just like sort of an evolution of the same thing that we've always kind of done in business, right? It's just that there's a little bit more flexibility, and that gives us a chance to sort of participate more heavily in that.
Annalise, what do you think?
So your comments just reminded me, I visited Amazon and Starbucks and Microsoft headquarters earlier this year, and all of them had, yes, in Seattle, and all of them had co-working type spaces in their kind of hub campuses. And in particular, Amazon and Starbucks are all about investing in downtown Seattle. So, and I have this personal theory that a lot of these mega trends, particularly on the West Coast, take a while to trickle to Rochester. And Rochester tends to manifest a lot of these workplace trends in industry development, years after they become commonplace elsewhere in larger metropolitan areas. So I'm really excited about the momentum that we're seeing downtown. I think it's exciting, it's innovating, it's innovative, and it's proven to be successful elsewhere.
Yeah, and so on that note, before the program began, Anna and I were talking about the fact that I guess it would probably be 10 years ago when I was working for Channel 13. I remember covering a company out in, I think, Victor or the Pittsford-Victor Road corridor. There's some tech companies out there. And I remember not only talking to Blue Tie and the people out there, but also hearing that, yeah, this is where the tech hub's going to be. This is it. And I'm wondering now, is there a giant sucking sound pulling that back to the city? Or, you know, I haven't really been out there to kind of follow that. But Dan?
I don't think so. I think that this isn't a zero-sum game. We don't have to take away from the suburbs to grow the core. I think that high-tech Rochester especially, we help, you know, tech companies grow. We help these little ventures hopefully become medium-sized ventures.
It's got to be a little bit. I mean, like, this is a weird construction, but it's either a zero-sum game or it's not. But I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
But to some degree, if a company is making a decision, it is, for them, a zero-sum. It's either downtown or suburban.
Well, what we see is, you know, these small offices are people who were previously working from home. Or when they hire their first employee, you're right, they say, okay, where am I going to hire them into?
Sure.
And we hope that they pick, you know, our small offices. Right now we have a small office out in Henrietta, right? We're still going to keep that facility. And I think this is an example of saying it isn't a zero-sum game, right? We're going to keep that facility because it still has its use. A lot of the companies that we see in our Henrietta facility build things, right? And downtown, we're going to have small offices and co-working spaces. And it's not a great space if you're, like, putting out multiple products to build something. So these are for really early stage ventures.
Okay. We're talking to Dan Keeley, who is the Director of Startup Community Development for High Tech Rochester. Anna Liss, Managing Director of Business Development for Greater Rochester Enterprise. Kyle Pasady, Senior Director of Marketing at Brand Networks. And we're talking about the sort of the present and the future of downtown. In terms of its high-tech world and all of the things that are happening when it comes to attracting these kind of companies and jobs, there's an event this coming Saturday called the Rochester Venture Adventure, and there is still room to do it?
Yeah.
To get involved?
Yeah.
How do you get involved if you want to do it?
There's an event on Facebook, so if you just kind of Google Rochester Venture Adventure, it'll pop up on your Google search. You can also visit High Tech Rochester's website, htr.org, and they have some details on their website as well. And it's $15 to sign up. And you can rally together a group for a team, or you can just sign up individually and we'll place you with a team.
What's the time?
Oh, it starts at 3 and it goes until about 5:30, 6 o'clock. There's going to be an event at a secret undisclosed location that will be sort of the culmination of the scavenger hunt. It's the point of the scavenger hunt. You got to find your way
party.
To this after party, right?
Yeah.
And one hint is that it has a beautiful view.
Yeah. Breathtaking view.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask, does it rhyme with, but no, okay. So you can still do it. And 150 or so last year, is that right?
Yeah.
How many this year, you think?
We can go up to 250, then we got to cap it off.
Yeah. Okay. So that's how you do that. And I want to talk to Kyle Pasady, who not only was a participant last year, but also I think has been involved in helping put these kind of events together.
Sure.
And you mentioned your company, Brand Networks, which is downtown, but not far from us here in High Falls.
Yeah, I got to park in my usual parking space this morning,
which
Evan.
Nice,
so, we're in High Falls, right around the corner from the XXI Studios. Brand Networks is, we're a global company. Our headquarters is in Boston, but Rochester's our biggest office. We build social advertising software that's used to support ad campaigns from a lot of big brands, Biore, AB InBev. We work with retail, CPG, financial services brands to help them advertise on social. But yeah, we love being in High Falls. We love being in Rochester. It's a big strategic decision for us because we feel we have awesome access to top engineers here in Rochester. And then, you know, our staff loves being here because of the quality of life in Rochester, and myself included.
All right, so forgive me on the history lesson because I'm ignorant about just about everything your company is and does. How big locally?
Locally,
how many people?
Yeah, I guess we're like 80 or 85 people in the office. And this is the building when people drive by, they see the Stantec sign on the side of the building. That's our building with Stantec. So we're about 85 locally. Like I said, most of those are software developers, web developers, designers, 2 marketers, some account people that manage relationships with some of the big brands that we work with, QA, so testing and improving the software. But yeah. We're right here.
And you mentioned being on the West Coast and meeting with LinkedIn, Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, so when you talk about helping support ad campaigns for AB InBev or whatever the client is, how does social media come in? I mean, social media is sort of everywhere, but when you're meeting with a Facebook, when you're meeting with a LinkedIn, what's the relationship you're building? What's the work that you'd be doing?
Sure. So we sort of have a special, we're kind of partner developers for all these channels, and we have sort of a special relationship with them in that we have access to their APIs, application programming interfaces. So we can build on their data, essentially. And that means that if a big, say a big retailer wants to run, you know, a $3 million ad campaign for back to school right now, that's a lot of ads to run on Facebook. Maybe they want to start running those ads on Instagram too, which is owned by Facebook. We provide the software that's kind of sits under the hood to help power an ad campaign at that scale. And then we also have service providers, you know, that really are good at running these ad campaigns, sort of in the same way, I guess, that, you know, somebody has to buy the media for radio or TV, right? And so if they can either use the software from us, which a lot of them do, or they can use our services, and then our people use the software to run the media.
So 80 to 85 here, how long has the company been in Rochester? Do you know?
We've been in Rochester 10 years.
10 years.
Interesting story is that our founder and CEO, Jamie Tedford, was in Boston. He's like a longtime agency guy, and he saw this social thing coming, right? And I think in the era when a lot of people were saying, like, social media, what's that? Is it a thing? Like, I don't know. We should Google it or something. He was like, I'm going to quit my job and build a company around this and start building these partnerships with these channels at that point. And then our technical lead, technical co-founder, Mike Garson, was here in Rochester. U of R educated guy. He was working at the U of R. Had a chance to, you know, he had an introduction to Jamie. They knew each other a little bit. And he had a chance to start to build the core technology behind this kind of like, what is now the Brand Networks platform, this big like architecture of software tools for marketers to run ads on social. And so they kind of built the business in the two cities simultaneously.
And Kyle, you said that you like being downtown because you have access to really good quality engineers, you know, a great workforce. That is something that we've been hearing a lot about. Mm-hmm. And for those of us who are not in that world, we're always hoping it's true and not just hype. Your company is seeing it?
Yeah, it's funny because I think a lot of the conversations around the Innovation District in Rochester and innovation in Rochester feel like hype to some people. But when I walk in my office, they're very real. You know, for us on the engineering side, RIT is a huge resource for us. And we have a great relationship with RIT and with the University of Rochester. We also, you know, try to participate in community events with a lot of the other colleges in the area. But what we see is that some of the very best engineers in the world come out of Rochester from a software perspective. And if they want to hang out in Rochester and live and you know, do their early and mid-20s in Rochester, then Brand Networks is hopefully the kind of the place for them to be. I mean, an example here is that over the last 2 years, we've acquired two competitors. One in Los Angeles last year and one in Silicon Valley the year before. And you don't hear a lot about like a Rochester, like a kind of a Rochester software company, you know, acquiring a company in Silicon Valley. But this is a true story. And for us, you know, what's happened in those offices, which we've, of course, kept open because those are great hubs for us to continue to build our business, is that we still do a lot of engineering out of LA, but a lot of our best engineering is still happening out of Rochester. And so the point I'm making here is that we can see that we have these great engineers because we also have great engineers in LA and in San Francisco, right? And I think Rochester is really, its place in the company's legacy and future has really been cemented by that kind of visibility.
Kyle, you were a participant last year in the Venture Adventure, and you know, for those people who may be thinking about doing it,
yeah,
what did you get out of it?
So first of all, for me, when Dan and I kind of started to talk about this event at the beginning, the point we kind of came to, you know, and there's a bunch of other people sort of involved in the original idea. The point we came to was like sort of twofold. One thing is that it's nice to sit around and think about the Innovation District. It's a different thing to go into it and see it. Yeah, the other thing is that it's kind of hard to see, right? Like, what is the Innovation District? It's an idea, right? It's sort of a community, right? It's a movement. It's not really a place. There's no sign for it, right, that says, welcome to the Innovation District. And so what we wanted to do was sort of take people on a tour of that, right? Like an invisible tour of that through this scavenger hunt where we would ask them to stop and look a little closer and see that Working Man Games is building awesome video games or that Darkwind Media is building awesome video games in the area. When you drive by, you don't know that. You know, as a participant, basically it's a bunch of people running around in colored t-shirts, like filling up the downtown area and having a good time and taking pictures on Instagram, right? And I think this is the other thing for us is like, you know, at the end you're going to like drink a beer and maybe meet somebody you didn't know before. And we didn't want to, We didn't want to create another event where, for lack of better terms, you kind of stand around in a sports coat and pass your business card to someone, right? And so I think trying to bring those people out into the community, and a lot of these people, like, we had a lot of participants also from Brand Networks last year. This is why we're excited to sponsor the event this year. Like, our community is this community, and we're participating in this. You know, some of these people are hopefully coming in that don't know the downtown area, but some of them are, again, like, this real thing that's already happening where, like, a lot of our staff live in the downtown area. We work down here, and we're just hanging out here on a Saturday.
Yeah, and I think even if you grew up here in Rochester, you probably, you know, maybe in your 20s or 30s right now, you probably didn't spend a lot of time downtown. I know that I didn't, right? My last memories of downtown were going to, you know, Midtown and sitting on Santa's lap. Right. So ever since I went off to college, I kind of hadn't experienced downtown since then. So it was really cool to, even when we were like plotting out the course, to walk around. And since, you know, we did it last year, I've been downtown a lot more often. You see all this construction going on. So it's exciting. It's exciting to almost explore someplace new that's just in your backyard.
Let me ask you, Dan, about something that we kind of emailed about a little bit before this program began. When it comes to what we can expect or at least hope for in the Rochester future. Now, I want to read something that you guys sent to me and build off that a little. You said, we know the playbook. Create more startups, create more jobs. Small tech and creative companies like those in the DIZ are key to sustained and diversified growth. And for some reason, when I thought about this, I actually thought of a recent conversation about Buffalo and the Buffalo Bills. And here's why. There's this debate in Buffalo about, you know, 6 years from now when the lease is up for that stadium, is Western New York going to have to build a new stadium for the Bills? Roger Goodell wants them to. And one of our guests said, look, if the NFL were starting from scratch, they look for cities with Fortune 500 companies. Buffalo doesn't have any. Buffalo would not get an NFL franchise. You've got to be, am I wrong?
Yeah, Buffalo does have some Fortune 500 companies. Mattel's outside of Buffalo, right? Great Batch. They have a few, because I know
is
that
First Niagara in the 500, probably not.
I don't know.
Okay, all right. So,
but there are,
that's
there
why
are
you're
some
here,
big
Dan.
Guys.
Correct me. So
there are some big guys.
All right. So our guest was saying, you know, so they look for cities with Fortune 500 or, you know, top 100 companies, that kind of thing, and the point they were making was Buffalo wouldn't be considered as having enough to get a franchise.
Sure.
Now,
yep.
That if you were starting from scratch, it wouldn't be on a list of 30 or 31 that value it now because it could be gone. And I got to thinking, you know, what's Rochester's future in that, you know, if high-tech Rochester is successful and or has continued success, and you see these small companies become large companies, because most of these large companies used to be small, probably all of them. You probably don't open with 10,000 employees or whatever it is.
Of course.
But do we have a cap, do you think? Do we have a ceiling here? Or and I don't mean that in a way. I don't want you to tell me there's the sky is the limit in Ratchet. But I'm very really curious to know about the good things that are happening. But is there sort of a ceiling for Rochester, or do we become a city that acquires Silicon Valley companies or merges to Rochester instead? You know, that kind of a thing. I'm curious to know what you think about what our progression may look like then.
I mean, I don't think that there's really a ceiling for any city. I mean, we're still building up Manhattan, right? And there's so much dense population there. So I definitely do not think that there's a real ceiling here. But what we do see is this trend. I mean, every job is good, right? So if we're helping a company grow from 3 employees to 10 employees, and we do that 100, you know, or more times over,
absolutely,
it's great.
Absolutely.
Right? I don't know if we need those huge anchor institutions that we thought we did in the past, right? I don't know if we need companies that employ 60,000, 70,000
right.
people to say that we're a successful city.
Yeah, go down.
If I can make a point here, so GRE, we host a show every week on WXXI, or not WXXI, WHAM 1180, and we recently had the chief technology officer of Kodak on, as well as some representatives of companies that have located at Eastman Business Park, many of which are in chemical manufacturing, and they made the point that they've been experiencing some issues with with talent. And talent is the name of the game. It's all about workforce, right? And a lot of these companies have, they said that they've sort of hit a ceiling in terms of recruiting from the local colleges and universities, as well as a lot of the folks that worked at our three big anchor institutions that were, you know, high-level engineers are close to retirement or have already retired. So they're dealing with issues of growth, you know, that it's hard for them to recruit talented engineers from outside of the Rochester region and be able to make the case that Rochester is a great place for talented engineers want to locate to the Bay Area and other, you know, sexier regions.
Pacific Northwest.
So they made the point that if there's a way for us to make Rochester more appealing, at least by perception, to talent that's nurtured and grown elsewhere, that would be great. So I think, you know, Dan's right in that there is no ceiling, but we need to do a better job of encouraging people from outside of the Rochester region to move here and want to work at companies here. And that would make it easier for companies here to remain and grow and be successful.
Sure. And maybe it's not 60,000 employees. Maybe it is a quilt of companies that are from 3 to 300 employees. What's wrong with that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, so before we lose the hour, I just want to ask, I saw some recent headlines about what's going on at Sibley, because that's been a big community question.
Sure.
The future of Sibley, what should be there, what's going to happen there. I see a couple $1 million in a federal, I don't know if it's a federal grant, federal funding for Sibley. Coming in, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Senator Gillibrand and Senator Schumer made the announcement recently.
Okay, right? So Sibley is going to be more kind of up to speed in 2017, but this fall we could see some company space there, yes?
Yeah, so we're kind of doing a test pilot facility this fall, right? We've got some space in the Sibley building. We're taking applications for a select group of companies to come and be pioneers. I mean, we've never done this before, so this is an experiment. We're trying to see what these guys want in terms of a co-working space. But we're really excited. We're hoping to do that sometime this fall.
Do you have a list at all yet, or are you?
Yeah, so we've got.
Here to break any news.
So I've got some target candidates right now, some people that I'm speaking to, but I don't want to release any names yet.
Okay. Not far away from potentially doing that, though.
No, not far away at all. I mean, I think that the ideal number would be probably 15 companies we'd cap it off at, which means that's 25 to 30 individuals. So, again, these are very early stage people. It's kind of bring your own laptop. We'll give you a desk, maybe, you know, someplace, some coffee, and a place to work and hang out with other people in the community.
And, Dan, I know you know there's been some push-pull about Sibley, its role in our jobs future, et cetera. What do you make of some of that? I mean, did some of it get a little silly to you, these community debates about?
Yeah, it's funny. I think with any of these projects, they take a little longer than you expect, right? Especially with what we encountered. You know, we help tech companies grow. So we've never built an incubator downtown before. So, you know, the timeline just got a little bit longer, but it's still going to happen, and we're still really excited about it.
A year ago when we were talking about this issue, I had a listener say, I hear the word incubator. I don't even know what that means. How do you define it?
An incubator is a space. Put me on the spot. An incubator is a community of growing companies. That's really what its added value is, right? It is a transient space where small companies can come in, rent a little space for a while, hopefully grow to medium size, and eventually move out. It's a community where the individuals there share overhead expenses, share resources, and talk and help each other.
Yeah, I think for, you know, looking at it from the private sector side, you know, and having worked in software for a long time, you know, when people cluster together, they tend to innovate a little faster, right? And they tend to knowledge share and learn about new technologies from each other. And I think that's kind of what is going to be created by, you know, HTR moving its incubator into the Sibley building, is that a lot of that knowledge exchange and that sense of community and sense of like being a part of something, I think is important to early stage companies, especially who haven't really built a really concrete vision for what their what they are as a company, right? Like this sense of belonging to something and all being on a rocket ship together, I think is really encouraging when you're trying to raise a seed round or trying to figure out how you're going to pay your first employee.
Before we wrap here, one more time, you want to go out to the Rochester Venture Adventure this weekend. It's $15 a head. You can go alone. You can come with a group. And I think they still have space. So if you want to sign up, we do it where?
Go to www.rochesterventureadventure.com. We have up to teams of four people. Come out, learn a little bit more about downtown, and meet some new friends.
Thank you for coming in and sharing some of these stories. And I hope we'll keep coming back and talking about the way our downtown is developing and unfolding. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Evan.
All right, short break. More connections next.